Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Monday, everybody. Great to be with you. Brought to you today by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They will take care of all of your insurance needs, and they'll do it in such a way where it meets your needs and the price is right. They'll get you the best deals for the right coverage. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Don't forget, on May 6th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament will take place. We're looking forward to that, and we'll have the show out there live at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, so you can stop by, and Kevin will have an official signing, and for $1 each, and it'll cost him a lot of money to do it, Kevin will sign for you. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KIA Routes 11 at 15, Hummel's Wharf. Coming up today, Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com, our update on the NFL draft. Final Four is set. Kentucky will play Wisconsin. Later in the week, we'll have Matt LaPay on the show, the voice of Wisconsin basketball. And Michigan State will take on Duke. Later in the week, we'll have Will Tiemann on, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball. So that's all coming up later in the week.
Who, by the way, Charlie, are playing some outstanding basketball at the right time.
Yes, they are. This is the best. A month ago, if you were to ask me if Michigan State would be in the Final Four, I would have told you no. In fact, I would have told you it would have made the tournament, but would have not made it through the first weekend. When I started to believe that Michigan State could be in the Final Four, had a Final Four look to it, was when I watched them in the Big Ten tournament. They were a different team in the Big Ten tournament when I watched them. I went, yo, this is a little bit different look here. And they took it right, and they took Wisconsin overtime. Then Wisconsin shut them out in overtime. But then you looked at the draw they got. When I saw the draw they had, I thought that's a Final Four team. Has something to do with it.
Is the best game of the Final Four Wisconsin-Kentucky as far as the matchup's concerned?
Yeah, they both are. Although, you know what's interesting about that is that you're going to have – there's going to be, obviously, which team wears the black hat, and that's going to be Kentucky. The one and dones. Look what Coach Cal does to the game. You know, Mike Krzyzewski, who has done marvelous things for the game, you know, he is doing the same thing, right?
But it doesn't look bad when he does it.
Okay. Do you think do you think Okafor's back next year? Do you think Tyus Jones is back next year? Do you think Winslow's back next year?
Why is he put on a pedestal then?
It's Coach K.
Duke graduates. He's just got a really good image.
Duke graduates players, and not only that, but you remember Coach Cal has already vacated Final Four appearances at UMass and at Memphis. That's the big difference. Now, let's take Notre Dame and Kentucky. Notre Dame and Kentucky is an interesting case. There is a lot of talk, and justifiably so, where everyone talks about the pressure on Kentucky to go 40-0, right? And if you push them to the brink, how are they going to react to the game pressure with everything on the line? Correct? What people don't talk about is there is actually pressure on the other guy as well. And the other night when Kentucky beat Notre Dame, Notre Dame played a terrific game. But it is also fatiguing to have to play at a high level and perfect all night. One of the reasons Mike Bray was out of timeouts at the end was because he had to use them because he looked out and noticed and knew, based on what he was seeing from his team body language-wise and because he knows them, that they were running out of gas. He could see it. That's knowing your team. It's part of coaching. Something a fan would notice. Coach would notice. And that's because there is a mental fatigue to trying to play perfect against what you perceive to be an excellent team. So now here you get to the final 10:24 of the game. So the final 10:24 of the game, what did Kentucky do? Number one, in the final 10:24... Kentucky didn't miss a shot. They went 9 for 9. Cal had the right play call with Harrison going to the bucket there. That fit what they needed to do, especially with the height that they have. You can take it to the bucket and fire one up there with the idea there's a good chance you could get the offensive rebound. He also, with Willie, I mean, it's not with Willie Cauley-Stein, with Karl Anthony Towns in foul trouble with 4. He started to go offense for defense with Towns with 4:28 to go in the game. It's a brilliant move by him because he saw, I think, what some other people saw. They weren't playing well unless Towns was on the floor offensively. And he started doing offense for defense, making sure that Towns was in there, starting at the 4:28 mark. He didn't wait till about 2 minutes ago to do this, or 2.5 minutes ago. He started doing it beyond the under four timeout. Now let's flip it to the other side. Okay, there's a pressure on you to win the game if you're Kentucky. They put game pressure on you. Everything's riding. You lost the national championship game last year, so you know what it's like to lose a game and not win the title. Kentucky knows that. They lost that game last year against UConn. So now you put the game pressure on them, but now there's also a game pressure on you. Let me tell you when I thought I saw the first crack in Notre Dame. When Pat Connaughton, who had a great game, missed the second free throw late in the game. Notre Dame played really well, but you know what? Notre Dame missed their last 3 shots in the game. Notre Dame played really well, but Notre Dame missed 2 of 5 free throws down the stretch. And when you have a perception and you know in the back of your own mind that to beat these guys you have to be perfect, there is a pressure on you too. This is not one of those, hey, what do we got to lose? Let it all hang out. They have everything to lose. We don't. Oh, contraire, bon frere. Guess what? You're trying to play for the Final Four, too. So you have something to lose. And now you play this near-perfect game, and finally you miss a free throw, and you could just see in their faces like, uh-oh. We needed that point. And then Grant at the end, you've got all those 3 points. This is where Mike Bray had to use his timeouts because of fatigue by his team. He had no timeout at the end. Grant tried to make the hero play. You can't make the hero play there. You've got Connaughton who can shoot the 3. Vastoria shoots the 3. He could have gotten to a certain point and hit one of them, which is what he should have done. But he tried to make a hero play. And you make hero plays when mentally you're out of gas. And that's something that a lot of people don't talk about. They have talked about all the pressure on Kentucky to win and be perfect. But there is also a pressure on you to beat them. There is a pressure on you that you need to react. It's not devil may care. It's not, hey, we got nothing to lose. It's the NCAA tournament. You lose, you're done. And Notre Dame, for 38 minutes of that game, played brilliantly. The last 2 minutes, no. Now you got Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin's attitude throughout the course of this tournament. It's been great watching them. I've actually had fun with this. Wisconsin has not played like a team under immense pressure. And then you have Duke and Michigan State. The emotion of Coach K on the sideline shows you what it's meant to him to get to this point. But essentially, with Okafor, with Winslow, with Jones, he's doing the same thing Cal's doing. He's just doing it with a different brand name and label up front. I mean, call me. Tell me he's not. He's using one-and-dones. Everybody has to go by a philosophy that gets them to a certain point. For example, Mike Bray's looked at his program. Mike Bray prefers, because he knows this is what works for his program, he needs to have an older player now. He likes to have older players in his program. At one point, Michigan State, when they won the national title and so forth back in the early 2000s, and they made deep runs, they had guys like Richardson and Randolph and so forth, guys that were leaving early and going to the NBA. They've had that. Have you noticed of late, Izzo's had teams that are older now? I mean, look at this team here. He's got Trice. He's got Dawson. Costello's an older kid. Forbes is an older transfer from Cleveland State. They're a little bit older. So everybody picks out a way that they think works best for their program, and these guys do it extremely well. But I think that Krzyzewski looked around and said, this may not be how I want to do it, but in order to compete at this level, I've got to do some of the same things too. I've got to have guys I'll have to accept, like Jabari Parker, for example, are going to be here 1 year and leave. I'm going to have to accept that Kyrie Irving is going to be here 1 year and leave. But you notice nobody ever talks about him doing it. Because there's nothing wrong with him doing it. Zero. Zero. And I can easily get out of Duke classes in the spring semester the same way I can get out of my Kentucky classes in the spring semester, too, to enter the NBA draft. Tell me the difference between the two. And the difference is, obviously, Krzyzewski has built a long, storied reputation justifiably, where he's graduated players, student athletes, cares about it, the whole deal. I mean, he didn't have a player leave early for the NBA draft till Elton Brand did in 99. It's the first time. He's there 20 years before it happened. All right? I got it. Final fours, championships, the whole thing. No hint of any probation whatsoever. On the other hand, Cal's put UMass on probation, he put Memphis on probation. That is the difference. But in terms of the philosophy of one and dones, Duke's doing it just like Kentucky is right now. The difference is one guy has a spotless and well-deserved spotless reputation, and the other guy has been on probation at two different schools. That's the difference. White hat, black hat. Kevin, Sean Carey. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday?
No, it's Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Remember, every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai!
And it's the Lease We Can Do sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
The Lease We Can Do is cut the crap and give you low payments and no money down. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata SE for only $237 a month for 36 months with zero down. Zilch. Nada. Or lease a 2015 Hyundai Elantra SE for only $183 a month for 36 months. Again, no money down. Or you could go green. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid for $250 a month for 36 months, and you guessed it, zero due at sign. No hidden fees, no plus tax, and blah, blah, blah. It's the lease we can do. These cars are here, these deals are real, and they're only at your home for Hyundai, Sunbury Motors Hyundai,
Hyundai.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, where every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Lease is based on 10,000 miles per year, zero total due at signing with approved HMFR Tier 1 financing, tax included. See dealer for complete details.
As soon as you can tell me that Winslow, Jones, and Okafor are coming back for a second year at Duke, I'll say, yeah, Kay's doing it differently. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's the rule's the rule. It's an NBA rule. It's not a college rule. There's nothing that colleges can do about it. Nothing. They're held hostage by what the NBA wants. If the NBA wanted to revert to a rule where you could go straight out of high school, college would have to live by it. This is a case where the NBA makes its employment rules, and colleges just have to go along with whatever the rule happens to be. Look, there are only going to be 8 to 10 guys that are going to be one and dones. The other 260 freshmen that are in Power 5 conferences are all coming back. I mean, after a while, I think it's no big deal. And I don't want to hear about any crusade about, well, you know, I mean, they're not getting an education. Like, hey, look, it's not my job to protect them. All right? That's their family's job, not mine. A kid wants to go 1 year to Kentucky and then go to the NBA. Good luck. Take care. D'Angelo Russell wants to go 1 year to Ohio State. Take off. Go ahead.
Now, do they?
I'm not. It's not my job to protect. Everybody acts like they want to protect these guys from what? Money?
Obviously, these guys are getting full scholarships now. Do their scholarships go away?
Yeah. As soon as they opt for the NBA draft, it's now eligible for them to give to somebody else. Now it works two ways. Now, let's get to Rick Barnes, for example. Rick Barnes is out of Texas. Rick Barnes has done the one and done thing. I mean, Kevin Durant was a one-and-done player at Texas. There was a really outstanding guard whose name off the top of my head I can't remember. Boom, one-and-done. The Turner kid that they have banked a lot on this year at Texas, he's entering the NBA draft, one-and-done. And it hasn't taken Texas to the promised land. Texas has not been a Final Four team, even though they've had one-and-done players on the team. Now, I will give Rick Barnes credit from the outside looking in for this. And they wanted him to change his staff, kind of like what Mack Brown was forced to do a few times. And to his credit, he looked at him and said, I'm not doing that. I know basketball coaches better than you do. I want to keep these guys. So they parted ways. He won't be unemployed long. But there's a case of a guy that's used a lot of one-and-dones in his career. And it hasn't paid off huge. It's paid off in getting him to the NCAA tournament, but hasn't paid off in deep runs.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They'll take care of all of your insurance needs. And don't forget, we're counting down the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, May 6th. Beautiful Wednesday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. They're out there today putting foam on the railings over the creek.
Can they put one near the hole? Because if they put one near the hole, I at least it would benefit me to hit the railing.
All I know is that three guys put suddenly out of nowhere felt their lives were in danger.
Again, you know what? If it weren't for me, you'd have no golf stories that are worthwhile.
No, I'd have other golf stories, but my goodness.
Nothing beats that one, you got to admit.
No, all the time you told me to go into the tree during a thunderstorm, that was another beauty.
But again, that's a golf story that revolves around me, and if it weren't for me, you wouldn't have any good golf stories.
No, that revolves around good old-fashioned common sense. I'm like, I'm getting the hell out of here. All right, we're going back to the clubhouse.
The lightning was miles away.
I know, they only stopped the tournament. All right, so... And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com in just a few moments. Once again, during the break, held hostage. I had to hear why Grady Sizemore was leading off today.
No, I was asking why is Grady Sizemore leading off?
It's spring training. Who cares? Miles Austin's going to sign with the Eagles. Great. Fourth receiver. Let's have a parade. And, of course, for you, it was like he always plays well against the Steelers. Like,
but again, with the Steelers secondary, most receivers played well against them.
And you know, and then finally something about car parts and an IndyCar race that nobody watched.
I watched it, and I even DVR'd it to make sure I didn't miss the end of it.
Saw the ratings, so you're the one. All right, let's bring in Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com. Charlie, welcome. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Steve.
All right, on your board, we've gone through now the combine and a lot of pro days. I know the Penn State pro day was a couple of weeks ago. Who's moving up based on all of this, and who is struggling with their spot and maybe sliding down?
Well, I would say that moving up the pass rushers of Vic Beasley, Shane Ray, Dante Fowler, I think all of those guys are kind of solidifying themselves in the top 10 of the draft. I think that they all, you know, had strong performances at the combine. Pro days haven't been a problem. Teams have generally been solid on them off the field. Beasley a little less than the other two. And then as far as the slider goes, I think you have to look at Randy Gregory right now. Yeah. He had a positive drug test at the combine, but that's kind of the tip of the iceberg. I've heard from teams there's other major concerns they have with him aside from the drug test. So I think that he's going to slide in the first round. Some teams think he could even slide out of the first round. Others aren't so sure about that. But at any rate, the concerns are widespread across the league, and I don't think he's going to be that high pick that everybody thought he was going to be just a few months ago.
When you look at your mock drafts, what percentage for you is need versus the traditional best player available? Because some teams still do best player available. Others go with need.
Sure.
How do you like to balance that out when you do this?
Well, I try and, you know, figure out each team specifically because, you know, some teams, like you said, are more reliant on taking the best player available regardless of position, while others, you know, focus on the need, and it varies by general manager. So I try and look at the trends, look at, you know, how these guys have drafted in the past, and use that as a way to kind of guide each pick for how teams approach the draft. And then on top of that, I think you just kind of look at where need and value kind of meet. You look at if a team has two or three needs, you know, who's the best player at one of those positions available? And maybe it's not the number one need, but there isn't a good player there, so they have to go with another route. Right. And they take need two or three to fill and end up getting a better, more talented player.
I sense with Chip Kelly that he wants to get somebody that fits him and fits a need. So where might they go if they hold at 20?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that they're really going to fill that safety need at that pick. Landon Collins is the best safety in the draft.
Right.
But the 20th overall pick might be a little rich for him. I know some teams have given him a high second-round grade. And so I'm not sure that they would go that route. But I think you could look at a wide receiver. I think Jalen Strong from Arizona State could make sense for the Eagles there. You know, they lost Macklin. Who knows how long Riley Cooper will be around. You got Huff last year, but he's more of a, you know, more of a slot receiver. And I think that they're going to want some size on the outside. And Strong is just such a weapon in the red zone that I think that's really going to appeal to Chip Kelly in terms of how they run their offense with, you know, moving the ball down the field in the ground game and having those red zone targets that can go up and get the ball, you know, in the short, condensed part of the field.
Steelers, on the other side, have been more of a best player on the board kind of team over the years. Now, we know they have specific needs. What do you see them doing here?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a team that I think you really you want to look at with Randy Gregory, because obviously, Steve, you know, the Steelers need to help that pass rush. Jarvis Jones, you know, kind of flashed a bit last year, but then he got hurt, so you still don't know what you have from him. And, you know, Harrison can't play forever, even though he was really impressive with what he did. I think that a pass rusher there is going to make a lot of sense. Looking at Gregory, maybe Bud Dupree from Kentucky,
right.
Eli Harrell, the edge rusher from Virginia, and then cornerback Kevin Johnson, Jalen Collins. Those are two big, long cornerbacks that kind of fit the mold of what Tomlin and Colbert have drafted in the past. They haven't taken a corner in the first round in over 20 years, but they had gone a long time before they took Jarvis Jones in the first round of that draft in terms of going with an edge rusher in the first.
Right.
So I don't think they're opposed to it. I think that one of those two spots, a good player is going to be there, and they're going to go that route.
Give me a profile on Jalen Collins, because he would be a Steeler possibility, because it looks like Wayans has bumped himself way up the board. So tell me about a thumbnail on Jason on Collins.
Well, you know, Collins is an interesting guy because in terms of skill set, he's tremendous. He's about 6'1", you know, 200 pounds, very long, and he's extremely fast. He doesn't always play up to it, but, man, he can run. And you see it in the season opener when they're playing Wisconsin. Melvin Gordon breaks off a long run running down the sideline, and Collins chases him down from behind from across the field.
Right.
So that was an amazing display of speed there from Collins. And he doesn't always play up to that speed, but he has it. So he just needs the coaching, needs to learn to play the ball a bit better, improve his ball skills. But he has the size and speed to go up against any receiver in the NFL. He's a great talent. He just needs to land with good coaching. And, you know, the Steelers have that. And Mike Tomlin, he was the best defensive backs coach in the NFL before becoming a coordinator with the Vikings and then the Steelers head coach. So I think they have the guys there to get the most out of Collins.
Is Mariota the mystery guy of this draft?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, Steve, and I was actually talking about that with a team's director of college scouting this morning, because I think there's the past few drafts, we've kind of noticed there's a different view of the quarterbacks in the media than there is with NFL teams. And last year, I think the media overrated Teddy Bridgewater from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, they had him higher than where NFL teams had him throughout the process, you know, going into the senior year. He didn't get knocked down from the pro day. They had him graded lower before that. You know?
I had him down watching games his senior year. I thought he played okay, not great.
Exactly, yeah. Teams told me they had a second-round grade on them before the pro day and at the end of the season, and they didn't change it because of his pro day. And the media made a big deal out of it and, you know, was shocked and that he could slide and all the rest. And I think Mariota's kind of the opposite. From what I'm hearing from teams, they feel he's worthy, especially in this draft class, of going high at the top of the first round. You know, not pick one, that's where Winston's going. Mm-hmm. But to 2 to Tennessee makes a lot of sense, whether they take him or trade. But I just don't see him sliding like Bridgewater or Manziel last year. I think Mariota's going to go quickly on Thursday night.
Mariota has different gifts than they do in terms of size,
right,
speed, arm strength's better than people really realize. I mean, this is not the same as those two guys that you're talking about. The other two guys you're talking about, Bridgewater, I just felt he performed at an okay level, and thought his arm strength was okay. I just felt like Manziel's guys just ran around and just threw the ball and is not a very good set pocket quarterback. To me, I watch Mariota. It looks like he can ad-lib or play from the pocket. It doesn't matter. The only thing I'd be concerned about is how many times he's taken a snap under center.
Right. And Mariota's going to need some work on, you know, just developing out of the pocket because
right,
he didn't play in that traditional style offense that he's going to have in the NFL. But, there, you know, scouts and teams have told me Cam Newton and Kaepernick came into the league a similar level to Mariota, and both of them have had success. So these are things that can be taught with a good student and a guy that has the skill set, and Mariota checks both of those boxes. He's a great student, great teammate and worker, and he has a good skill set. So he just needs some time. I think it'd be best if he isn't forced into the lineup right away, but given some time to develop, and I think he'll turn into a quality quarterback.
This is not a top-flight quarterback that I'm about to mention, but a guy that's been a good NFL quarterback. But Alex Smith, when he was the first overall pick out of Utah, he never took a snap under center at Utah. I mean, so that's not
exactly.
I mean, he was all shotgun at Utah with in the previous coaching staff, whom I can't remember, in his 2 years with Urban Meyer.
Right, exactly, and you know, Cam Newton at Auburn running
right,
the offense there with Malzahn. You know, so they definitely have, you know, guys that they can look to in the past and say, well, this was a similar guy who came into the league and he's developed into a quality starter, and Mariota has the traits to do it. So we just work with them. And,
yeah,
and hopefully for him, he goes to a good coaching staff that's stable and isn't fired after his first year, you know.
Right.
He's given some time and continuity to develop.
Well, if he goes to Tennessee, you would have Ken Wisenhunt, and that's not a bad guy to go to start your career with. So,
absolutely not. And
yeah,
you look at what he did with Kurt Warner at the end of his career.
Yep.
Really a great season with Phillip Rivers when people were starting to wonder if Phillip Rivers was on the decline, and he – you know, turn that around in a hurry. So I think that would be a great landing spot. And it's a place that there isn't a lot of pressure. It's not like Mariota going to the Jets. You know,
yeah,
I think Tennessee would be perfect for him.
Yeah, if he went to the Jets, his parents would find religion. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you,
Charlie,
Steve.
Appreciate
it. Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com. We'll come back with more in a moment, including 10 good seconds of IndyCar here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855. Check us out online at purdyinsurance.com or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. had to cancel the 10 good IndyCar seconds because there was a realization on my part that there weren't 10 good seconds.
Yeah, there is.
Did you see the story of Brian Anderson doing the game on Saturday night with Kentucky and Notre Dame?
I don't think so.
Marv Albert was supposed to do the game.
Oh, that's right. I did hear that Marv was not feeling well.
Marv got sick. And so they had to, you know, and Brian Anderson's carved himself out a really nice career. You hear him on TBS doing baseball. He does the Brewers. And he's actually, I think, working his way up the ranks at CBS on football. I mean, he's got a nice, smooth, knowledgeable delivery. And I know we've had Matt LePay of Wisconsin is going to be on the show later in the week. Remember we had Matt on last year. Matt, and the last thing I asked him before he ended up doing the Final Four down in Arlington was I asked him about, you know, hey, you're going to be doing some Brewers games. And the reason Matt's did some Brewers games last year and will continue to do so is that when Brian Anderson goes to TBS for a national game, Matt fills in for Brian Anderson and the Brewers. Well, Richard Dice of Sports Illustrated got a hold of Brian Anderson. And what happened was this, that Marv's sick, doesn't feel great. It's a Friday. And on that Saturday, and Brian Anderson had the day off. He was in Phoenix. But he was going to do the Brewers game the next day. So Brian Anderson said the easy part was saying, yes, yeah, I'd love to do that. Kentucky, Notre Dame. But it's not so easy because he has to then get a hold of the Brewers, has to get a hold of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Hey, can you let me out of tomorrow's game to do it? And it's spring training, so guys aren't around. It was Brian and the analyst, and that's it. You know, you say, well, what about Matt LePay? He fills in for him. Well, no, Matt had his own game to do Saturday in Los Angeles doing Wisconsin and Arizona the same day. So he's out. So what Fox Sports Wisconsin did was, okay, we're going to let you go. And then they got a hold, you know, of the Bucks and Craig Koshun, and Craig's done some Penn State basketball games on the Big Ten Network before. They got him to leave his Bucks assignment as the pregame, postgame host and go down to Arizona and do the Brewers game. And then they get somebody else to fill in for Craig Koshun to do that. And then Brian Anderson gets a hold of TBS and they get a flight arranged. He leaves Phoenix at 3. He gets to Cleveland at 10:30 at night on Friday night. Text back and forth with Marv Albert about some of the things that Marv wanted to get into and talk about with the guys. Same thing with Lewis Johnson, who's the sideline guy. And then he talked with Gary Cohen, who was doing the games on Westwood One, just to get a feel for where are we going with this thing. And you would have never known in a million years that Brian Anderson was in a fill-in spot, ever. Did a great job.
Well, he did some early in the tournament games, too, didn't he?
Well, what helped him a lot is that he did Notre Dame's first two rounds. So he really had to just learn, hey, look, tell me, guys, about Kentucky. I know the Notre Dame story. So he fit right in and did that. How was your All-Star games yesterday?
Oh, they were a lot of fun. There wasn't as many dunks as I expected to see, especially on the boys' side, but a lot of three-point shooting all of a sudden. Everybody who wanted to hit a three I think both games at least one or both of the teams were in the 60s. So it was a high-scoring affair.
Good. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Northumberland County All-Star sweep for the girls and the boys last night. And most importantly, raised well over $2,000 for the Northumberland Recreation Authority's scholarship fund, where a female and male athlete from every Northumberland County high school, there's 11 of them, will get a scholarship. They pick one male and female athlete from all 11 schools and get a scholarship, and that was what some of the money will go, actually all the money will go to from last night's games.
That's better than last year when Kevin said the money was going to the human fund.
The The Human Fund?
That's the Kevin Hurst Scholarship Fund. Labeled as the Human Fund.
Oh boy.
Don't you want to donate to humans?